Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Roush, your host of the new Grace Radio series, Voices. This new adventure in programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell. Before we get started today, the management and staff of Grace Radio want to wish you a very happy and blessed Merry Christmas. The best wishes for next year. Our guest here on Voices today is Slidell City Councilman Bill Borchett, a good friend of Slidell, bringing many new and creative and innovative thoughts to Slidell. And we've asked him just to spend a little time with us at Christmas, reminiscing a little perhaps, talking a little bit about Slidell. Christmas, as we understand it, is a time of hope. It's a time of peace. It's a time of encouraging each other. Councilman Borchett is perhaps one of the most positive and interesting guys I know to talk about these things. So, Bill, welcome to Voices.
Thank you, Bob. Looking forward to it.
Bill, talk to us a little bit about Christmas, what it means to you. What's the most important part about Christmas for you and for your family?
Boy, that's a tough but easy question. The most important thing, obviously, around Christmas time is family. Shortly above family would obviously be faith, because without the faith, there'd be no real reason to celebrate Christmas.
Amen.
And so the faith that we have in Jesus Christ and his birth allows us to gather as family and have a reason to celebrate this time of year. And because of such, we so much look forward to getting together with family. And
well, you know, you're right. The Christ child, the family, the whole, the nativity scenes in the front yard, all of the symbols of Christmas that we understand as Christians does point to family. It does point to maybe restoring relationships that have been broken in the past and bringing them back together and kind of re-knitting ourselves together during the Christmas season.
Yeah, and even others, you know, I mentioned earlier that my mom passed away this year.
And even though
we have the broken relationship now of my mom and dad no longer being together, it's still a chance for us as a family to come together, show support for him and for our siblings, and just a chance to gather together and understand that we're not alone at this time. You know, we're here as family to support each other, but also to let Dad know that, look, you know, your life partner of 53 years is not here, but the love is still here. And so, you know, let's show the love and let's show the support in that regard as well.
You know, I think it points to the necessity for us to, as family members, to invest in each other, to spend quality time together, to say the things that need to be said, forgive where forgiveness is needed, because once we do move on to life with Christ, there are many things that can remain that are good and positive and wholesome and encouraging things for the whole family.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, looking back on it now as a much more mature individual, when I was 17, I knew everything, and my dad was probably the dumbest man in the world. And like everybody here, by the time I got old enough to realize, which is usually the time I become a father, I realized how intelligent he really has become, when in reality it was me that was in the learning curve of it.
Yeah.
And Dad and I did not have the best of relationship growing up, and it wasn't, part of it was him and part of it was me, but the reality is that now we have an incredible relationship. I attribute most of that to God, but the reality is that it also took effort on mine and his part to mature and get to the point where we could overcome a lot of the obstacles of 30 and 40 years ago.
Understood. I think many of us have gone through that. I know for my part, I went off to college and was amazed how much my dad learned while I was in college.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the growing and maturing and the whole family dynamic part of it. And,
sure.
That's just part of, I think that's part of that formative teenage years and the brain actually developing somewhere. You know, some of us take more than the 25 years that scientists say that's what it takes. Some of us take a little longer than that.
But nevertheless, family survives.
Correct. Yeah.
Family survives through the hardship, through the disagreements, through the misunderstandings. We come out the other side better because of family.
Yeah.
Family teaches us so much. And, of course, the Christ child is often our example of what family time should be.
No doubt about it. You know, the Christ child actually does nothing better than explain to us the purpose of our relationship. our relationship with him, our relationship with family, our relationship with others. And the beauty of Scripture is that not only does he show us through Scripture, he explains to us the way to pray through the Our Father, the miracles of turning water into wine, not only wine, but the choicest wine. With God, good is not good enough. It's great. And so even when we deal with our families and with others, what he wants with us is the best relationship, not just a relationship. And I think it's important for us to realize that, especially this time of year when there's a lot of people out there that are disenfranchised from their family. And they just haven't had the opportunity to amend a broken fence somewhere or say, and I'm sorry, or something along that line. They just, they want to, but they're more fearful of the reprisal or what may or may not happen, when in reality, and I've learned over the years, when in reality, the fear of doing or not doing something is often 10 times worse than the doing or not doing something. And so quite often it does take, quote unquote, leap of faith. But the reality is that if you push through the fear, quite often what you suspect would be the consequence is never. One of the prime examples in Scripture is the prodigal son. Oh, how embarrassing it would be to go back to my father after living this life. Oh, he'll make me live with the servants and eat the pig food, and I'd like that. When in reality he shows up and his father gives him the robe, and it's nothing that he feared. As a matter of fact, it was the complete opposite of what he thought would happen, and welcomed back into the family. And I think now is the time for us to do that. During this time of forgiveness, this time of healing, this time of joy, reach out to those family members that we have broken relationships with.
We spend so much time right now in the stores doing our gift, looking for gifts. I'm looking for the ideal, wonderful thing that's going to change somebody's life. But reality is, the best gift could very easily be what you've just described. The best gift could be is just being transparent, giving to one another, putting our own pride aside for the sake of healing in somebody else's life. Yeah. And of course, that's the gift that Christ brought to us, a gift of healing, a gift of forgiveness, a gift of openness, a gift of transparency, a gift of suffering on our own for the sake of somebody else's betterment. And that's what I think I hear you describing is not so much finding the right scarf or gloves or hat or ski board, whatever it is we in the South do, but really just looking for the best gift would be just giving ourselves to somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Recently on the internet, I saw something about a white envelope on the tree, and it was a really neat thing. And they talked about the husband every year was real hard to buy for. And so the wife said, you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to get him a cute little gift, but I'm going to go do something for someone else. And I'm going to tell the story and write it in a letter and put it on the tree. And Christmas morning, that will be your gift. And so she one year, she sent a youth choir to a minister trip or something like that. One year, there was a family whose house burned, and she bought the clothes for the kids and the mother and the father. And so every Christmas morning, they would look forward to opening the white letter and reading the gift that they received, which was her blessing another family. And, it was never done where it was public or anything like that. It was a family, and it was their time. And I just thought that was the neatest thing. And we did some things similar to that years ago with our family, where we had an envelope on the tree, and we would do things for someone else, and that was either my gift to my wife or my wife's gift to me. And quite often we would even have our three daughters would have envelopes on the tree on what they did for us. For me, it was a lot more meaningful gift. I don't need a new this or a new that. And so it just, for me, it gave a lot more meaning to Christmas. The other thing that we do at our house is every year we have a Christmas gift. It's not really a Christmas gift. It's a birthday present under our Christmas tree. And it's to Jesus from the Borchards.
Oh, wow.
And so every year we realize that, yes, it might be Christmas, but it's also Jesus' birthday. Let's celebrate both.
What a wonderful set of traditions and great thoughts and really an encouraging thing for us to give ourselves to one another, first in our family, but also extending beyond our immediate family to others that God puts in our life.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we have a responsibility to be able to live out the gospel in front of other people. And to be able to do it, especially at this time of year, is just the perfect and complete gift for which nothing is expected in return. It's just a really neat thought. But you know, Bill, as we talk, it occurs to me, and I know we've talked about this before, but you know, there are those out there that don't have the family around them. There are those out there that have kind of lost hope. It can be a tough time of year for a lot of people.
The toughest time. Yeah. It's the toughest time of year if you don't have a family or a support group or friends that are around you that are there to lift you up and encourage you in your daily life. This is one of the most difficult times of the year, simply because of the holiday time, and a lot of people, some people are neglected simply out of their own want. They don't want to be around people this time of year, and I understand that. But there are a lot of people that are neglected simply because they haven't had an opportunity to let people know that they're available. You know, is something, you know, what's going on that we can be involved in? You know, Laura and I are involved in a lot of different things throughout the community, but I'm still amazed at the things that I don't hear about. Yes. And I mean, we are, you know, between the politics and the church and the nonprofits and everything else, we are running literally from sunup to sundown, and yet there are still things going on within this community that I don't hear about until 2 days after it passed, and I'm surprised. From the standpoint of this time of year, let people know you want to be involved, especially this time with our crazy, hectic schedules and everything else, you know, trying to get everything done before Christmas and then before the end of the year. You know, some people, it just slips their mind that oh, I was supposed to call this person or that person. I called my dad the other day, and I told him, I said, you know, every time I drive down this certain road, there's a billboard up, and it says, did you call your parents today? And I feel impelled to call him at that time. And so quite often he'll say, what are you calling me this late at night for? Well, I passed the billboard again, and I felt like I needed to call you. And I call him pretty regular anyway, but any time I pass that billboard, I call him. And I think it's just a reminder of us to reach out to friends and to family this time of year, because it's needed.
You know, I think there's a lot of people who would say this time of year that I really don't have anything to give. I really don't have anything that would make a difference in anybody else's life. But, you know, we all have something to give. A word of encouragement.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
A good handshake, a slap on the back, or just a, hey, thank you for being a part of my life. All of those kind of things. I mean, you may not be able to reconstruct the Taj Mahal in somebody's backyard, but you can do something more important than that.
Yeah.
You can reconstruct in their heart a self of worth, a sense of worth, a sense of well-being. Can you talk to me about people using what God's already given them to serve others?
Well, I could be here all day with that one. But you brought up a point about a word of encouragement. And the reality is that I don't know anybody that doesn't appreciate a word of encouragement. And it costs absolutely nothing relative to this economy. And yet the value of it is exponentially greater than any monetary gift you could receive. And so I think that quite often we get caught up in the commercialism of this time of season more so than the relationship of this type of season. You know, our good friend Joe has mentioned several times about the fact that we have free will. And why did God not make us like the angels, or why did he give us free will? And it's pretty simple that he gave us free will so that we could love him, so that we could choose to love him. Without free will, there is no opportunity for love. We have to understand that to go any further than that, is that we have the choice. We have the choice to love someone or not love someone. We have the choice to worship or not worship. We're blessed in this community and in this country that we actually have the opportunity to worship. There's a lot of places in this world that don't have that opportunity.
That's right, yeah.
But the reality is that in their own homes, they still have the choice to make of a relationship with Christ. And many do. We constantly hear about China. We constantly hear about these places overseas. Bishop Wellington is constantly reporting back from Sierra Leone and all of the miracles that are happening over there. So it's happening all over the world. But the reality is that we have to take the first step in the process of the free will. Now, the way that correlates with this time of year, with Christmas and within our own personal community is that we also should take the first step in reaching out to those that we know that don't have family, that don't have a support group or those, you know, those of others that we think may be hurting this time of year, and reach out to them and invite them and encourage them and make a difference in their lives.
So the neighbor next door that you don't see very often, good time to knock on that door and wish them well.
Absolutely.
The people in the store, the clerks in the store who are working to serve you while you're looking for that perfect tie, you could give them the perfect gift of encouragement.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of opportunity for us to do that outside of our family. We start with the family. We start with those close to us. But we can bring gifts to people that we've never known and have an influence in people's life that we'll never know. Just by showing love, by showing care, trying to find that word of encouragement.
Yeah, or that deed. You know, it's the simple things. I'm amazed at how often I'll be walking into a building and I'll hold the door open for one or two or three families walking through, and the kids usually don't notice because they, you know, for whatever reason, they're young. But the adults will always say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And it's not, doesn't cost anything. And yet it's so appreciated, because unfortunately it's not as common anymore as it was when we were growing up. It really is the simple things. My dad's number two brother, who's passed away from cancer years ago, he had a famous saying: money we got plenty of, it's time we're running out of. And of course for him it was prophetic, because he's not here anymore. And I asked him one day, I was young, I mean I was very young, and he said it all the time. And I remember going up to him, and I said, Uncle, I said, I got a question for you. I said, just out of curiosity, what do you do when the money runs out and you're still around? He said, you just go back to the bucket of money you got money from last time and you get some more. He said, and even in his eulogy, his best friend said, everybody remembers Mike, and everybody knows Mike, in his comment of money we got plenty of, it's time we're running out of. And that's the reality. You know, the reality is that the only real treasure we have is time. Everything else has a finite value. The time is what we make of it right now. 10 minutes ago, that's gone.
Right.
But what we have is now. And fortunately for us, we actually worship a God of the present, the past, and the future. And in the past, he allows forgiveness. In the future, he allows hope. But he, you know, what's the saying, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is God's gift to us, that's why they call it the present. Pretty appropriate.
I love
Christmas.
It. I yeah. love it. What a great way to finish our time together. As we do wind it up, and I thank you so much for giving us some of your time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And giving the city of Slidell words of wisdom and insight in the time that they'll take to listen to our program today, our talk today. Is there anything that you'd like to leave us with as we get ready to wrap it up?
I'd just like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a happy, joyful New Year for 2017. And that if you get the opportunity to make a difference in somebody's lives, please do.
Great word. Great word. Thank you so much, Bill.
Absolutely.
Really encouraged to have spent time talking with you today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio today. We would like to hear from you. You can call us now at 985-250-1037. You can leave a comment. You can send us a text to that number. We want to hear from you. If you have comments about today's programming, please feel free to be in touch with us. We'd like to encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell, and leave a comment and keep up with what's going on with the station. You can also check in at our website, www.graceradioofslidell.net, where you can make a tax-deductible donation. It's donations from folks like you that help keep us on the air, and we do appreciate it. Thank you so much. And again, give us a call, 985-250-1037. We want to hear from you. Well, that's it for now. Join us again for Voices of Slidell daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.